May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 874. Lord, if with thee part I bear, if I through thy word am clean, in thy mercy if I share, if thy blood has purged my sin, to my needy soul impart thy good spirit from above, to enrich my barren heart with humility and love. Hymn 874.
Let us read, firstly, from the Acts of the Apostles, part of chapter 26. The Acts of the Apostles, from chapter 26. We turn to a few verses in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. The second epistle, Timothy, chapter 1. Acts 26, from the first verse. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, upon to which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision that showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. We turn on to the first chapter in the second epistle of Paul. The first chapter, second epistle of Paul to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, which is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We leave the reading of God's word there. Amen. Lord, we do seek now that grace which is with thee. The Lord that abounds, thou dost give more of it. May we know it this evening. Lord, in many things, may we have yet that abounding of grace. And we pray, Lord, that thou guide us by thy Spirit. And may love be sweetly felt in our hearts. Lord, that is what we need. We seek, Lord, that thou gather us around thy word. Oh, may it be a word to instruct, a word to teach, may it be a word to correct, may it be a living word in our poor hearts. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt grant the blessed Spirit, and do grant that coming down the blessed Spirit with the things of God, sweetly appointed thereto, and bequeathed and given by the dear Redeemer in that great condescending love. And so we pray, Lord, that we may not be left. Granted the Holy Spirit of promise and the blessing of the Lord. Or without it, Lord, it's dry, it's but form, it's that which is right so far, that which will suffice only the interest. But, O Lord, do come and grant thee, send in thy Spirit with thy word, with that power and authority. Lord, we ask thy mercy toward us. We do see that thou wilt remember the children and young people. Lord, bless the teaching in the Sabbath school. And remember each and every one that we gather in our thoughts. Lord, how we desire to lay hold upon thee, and that thou wilt bless young hearts until they're brought to know thee with that sweet power of thy Spirit that finds that place in sinners' hearts according to the riches of God's grace. We pray for them. We seek, Lord, for the afflicted. Thou be with them. Lord, in whatever afflictions there are, may the Lord grant that sweet word, in all their afflictions he was afflicted. Lord, remember the downcast. Lord, to grant they may be lifted up. Grant to those, Lord, that may need thee to confirm them that they've ever been right in anything at all. Grant, Lord, also that thou would comfort the comfortless. Lord, do come and grant a lifting up of thine inheritance when it is weary. Grant, Lord, that vital application of thy word. May there be, Lord, those answers of peace. Lord, hear the prayer in the vestry, and each one of us, we hope, we can say, Lord, do hear us in this house of prayer. And grant thy blessing, Lord, to sweetly be known, that thy word may run and have free course and be glorified. Lord, it's in the hearts of sinners, that's where it's glorified. Oh, that we might know and be able to rejoice with those that do rejoice, and weep with those that weep. We pray, Lord, that thou hear us from our land. Again, we lift up our hearts, Lord, unto thee. We seek that grace to pray aright, overrule. Lord, turn back the solemn tide of iniquity that fills our land so much and increases. Have mercy. Hear prayer, Lord, for that bringing out of Europe with a high hand, as thou didst bring thy people out of Egypt. So we pray thy divine intervention, the Lord to appear, our God to arise. O Lord, we ask thy mercy upon us. Help us, Lord, to bless thee for thy many mercies. We are yet on praying ground, and the Lord liveth. Help us, Lord, to seek unto thee that thou wilt come and grant us that blessing of the Lord in the evening hour. Very sweet are those times when the Lord appeared, the doors being shut, or when thou didst draw near. And the journey to Emmaus with poor sinners till their hearts sweetly burn within them. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember the afflicted in body, mind, circumstances, and Lord, do grant help of God laid upon one that is mighty. We desire, Lord, to come and seek that thou wilt grant that this people may have that blessing of a ministry that thou wilt appoint. It may be according to thy goodness, send an under shepherd. We pray for the great shepherd and his appointment. Seek, Lord, that thou wilt bless this people. Hear us, Lord, we pray in these dark days when the light seems to flicker. And we pray that thou wilt arise and grant that needful help of God. Forgive our sin. Or may we be able to feel it this evening. Forgiveness, which is acceptance with thee of poor sinners. Grant, Lord, that vital power of it. Oh, to reach our sin and unworthiness. May we feel it. And that setting free of sinners by thy sweet grace and Calvary's precious blood. We ask that thou come, Lord, and hold us up. Help us this evening hour. Grant, Lord, we may see no man at all, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, remember any that especially we feel low, may they be lifting up. Any, Lord, that are tried and tempest-tossed, be near to them. Help us, Lord, to record thy mercies that ever thou dost bring us again unto the throne of grace, and there to wait upon thee. Come in thy appointed means, and Lord, do exceed our poor prayers. Come, Lord, and grant us some gracious help of God in the way that we take. Come lifting up, Lord, of our poor hearts amidst all the sorrows of the way, the disappointments which they are thy appointment. And Lord, do help us to plough a straight furrow. And looking unto Jesus, we may know that gracious help of God. We ask that thou hear us in heaven. Now that's what we need. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Lord, forgive. Come with thy mercy, thy gracious help. Lord, deliver us from our fears. Come and make us, Lord, the appointment of God in the ministry this evening. We ask that there may be some witness, and some sweet knowledge that thou art with us. We ask that we remember any that feel left out. Hear us, Lord, and come swiftly. Receive us graciously. We ask all in that worthy prevailing name of Jesus. For his sake we ask. Amen.
Hymn number 309. How strange is the course that a Christian must steer. How perplexed is the path he must tread. The hope of his happiness rises from fear, and his life he receives from the dead. Hymn 309.
Thank you.
by the help of God, I direct you this evening to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, from chapter 1, from verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There are many things that lay in the words here as recorded by the Spirit of the truths that were spoken by Paul to Timothy, his son in the faith. What depths there are in these words. What things surround them. These words speak of the way that God was pleased to bring him almost to the end of his course. Almost to the last days, months, or even years, but very near to his end. What things surround these words here. What grace it is revealed. And what a sweet word it is in the gospel. For which cause, he says, as he speaks of the Lord's appointments for him, I have appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For which cause I also suffer these things. These are the afflictions of the gospel. Things surrounding his course and appointments of God in all God's holy will. He is brought to the last consideration of those things which were immediately before him. Friends, I want to notice that God was sweetly with the man of God. My thoughts have gone to the way in which the Lord helped him to record those words concerning the Lord's purposes for him, and the way in which the dear man was able to witness those many years before this epistle was written. Things that God had taught him and brought him to know and witness in the preaching of the gospel. Many things are revealed here concerning the Lord's sacred will concerning him and the purpose of God's grace bringing him towards the end of his journey, as we read in the chapter in which our text is taken. I want to notice it, the similarity. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Now the sum of his ministry, friends, was this. It was the preaching of the cross. The sweet truth that lay in that supported his soul. Brought him in a very sacred account here to witness unto the great truth of God's word as it was in his soul and was in the Lord's will concerning him to the end. Friends, no deviation here. But there were many things he had to still walk out as we think of the Acts here and the witness. In my opinion, it is a very singular part of God's word. He had to stand fast and witness, but God was with him. Now what lays upon my mind is the truth in the word of God's grace. Friends, we have it in these few words, in the word of our text. Which caused all those things, everything. And gathers up so many, many things. And then he says, which caused I also suffer these things as being appointed of God. As in his lot, in the appointing of the preaching of the gospel, many things should be entered into and walked out. And he says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Well, I think a very singular part, friends. One would think perhaps he might be ashamed of the way in which the dear man had served the church of the living God, that he might perhaps be saying here those things that he was truly ashamed of, but had to mention. Friends, it's that gracious increase of God's love and mercy that filled his soul. That's it. What about all that unworthiness? Friends, it was swallowed up. Here are real things. The dear man was able to look indeed singly and wholly unto Christ with love in his heart, until that love sweetly enabled him to look to the sufficiency of Jesus. And his transgressions and all his unworthiness were swallowed up. That's the evidence of it, isn't it? Some may say, well, he must have been ashamed and he must have acknowledged it. Friends, it's the witness of the Scripture, of the Holy Spirit. Dear man of God, sweetly supported by God's rich grace. And so we have it before us in these words, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. The evidence of this is by the sweet increase of the grace of God. Friends, it filled his heart, didn't it? He couldn't see anything else but that sweet truth, and he was persuaded of those things that seemed to superabound, seemed to rise high, seemed to put things right for the dear man. Remember, he was in prison. He was in a very small cell, if you like. There was only room for everything to come down through a hole in the roof, in the ceiling. Everything had to come, the letters and everything he sent had to be subject to these trials and difficulties. We see the man, friends, sweetly anointed with God for whatever God would send, whatever the Lord's will concerning him was, he was able to see in a very sweet way the sufficiency in Christ. Now it's easy, isn't it, to speak of it when things are well, or it is perhaps right to say it is easier to our flesh. But when things are against us, when things are opposite, how we think the blessing of the Lord should be, when there are those great trials and difficulties, we spoke just a few of them this morning, when there are those things that seem to prevail, and there is that trial of your faith, then we read, the righteous shall hold on his way. It is when the Lord's will is in all these things, and there is something to speak about that exceeding abundant grace, all-sufficient grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Friends, we seem to come so far short. If I may speak for others, we feel we can do in this. Oh, the limitations of our faith, the trial of your faith we have spoken of this morning, and then the sinkings, and the many things that may conspire one after another, or to lay us low, but the truth is this, is a sweet lifting up here of the Lord Jesus. And it's in his heart so much that he speaks to his beloved son Timothy of those things that are all in the purpose of God for him. And he bids him continue. Oh, what a sweet evidence, friends, of that love he had to the church of God, and especially to his son Timothy, that he exhorts him to continue, whatever betide. He speaks of the way that God has appointed him to walk in. Be not thou, Timothy says, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Something, if it were right to say, is it is given of God to him to proclaim to his son Timothy, the preacher indeed, a man of God. His beloved son Timothy was that messenger, wasn't he? And soon he must take those things that were appointed to him, as we read of an anointing, and continue in them. Would to God we might have those friends that are raised up to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. They can't be searched out. Oh, the abundant grace. Oh, the sweetness of those things that supported the dear man. The things of heaven, aren't they? And so there's a sweet lifting up in the word of God's grace, of the gospel. The sufficiency of it. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony. Perhaps it's a good word this evening. Nor of me as prisoner, says Paul, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Afflictions of the gospel. All those things that God appoints with the gospel. When he speaks of the hardness, doesn't it, and the difficulties, the trials and the appointments of God, that this is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right and when ye turn to the left. Let thine eyes look right on. Oh, we fail, friends, to come so far short. But then, one word, one sweet evidence of that abundant grace, friends, it seems to fill the heart. That's what the apostle's speaking of. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue. By the help of God, by the grace of the Lord. Not an abstract, not something learned, as we may indeed read it, but it's when it rains. Grace rains. That's what God has appointed. Grace that reigns. And it brings poor sinners to heaven at last. That is how the word seems to open up to me, the things that surround it and the things that the apostle speaks of were those things that God appointed for him. And then these words, he says, therefore I'm not ashamed. He's not ashamed of the Lord. He's not ashamed of his chain. He's not ashamed to speak even of the Lord in the prison house. Not ashamed to speak to Timothy with a charge, with a word from his God about him pressing on, continuing. Now, he does so by lifting up the dear Lord himself. Not himself. Not because he's endured or anything to do with a creature, but friends, a witness unto the saving power of the grace of God. Oh, to feel it. It's like the river, isn't it, flowing over. All those things that seem to come and to be that sweet increase. Perhaps we may speak a bit better of God's love, abounding. That's why he says, I'm not ashamed. He's not ashamed of his Lord. Oh, to have a little sweet increase of that. Alas, we have to confess that in years past we've been reluctant to even speak when we ought to speak, or to stand when indeed we ought to stand. But it's the increase of that grace, it's the evidence of it in this heart of the dear apostle, that it is being prepared. The man is on the brink, as it were, of that heavenly city. He's near his end, but how precious is Christ. I've known dear men like that, women too, of course. Friends, they seem to live for the gospel. They seem to need that increase of the knowledge of Jesus. And that does them good. It's like that manna from heaven. Supplies their need, fills their souls, everything in the gifts of God that come down in the person and truth of the Lord Jesus. It's the gospel, isn't it? The gospel is not a glib thing, friends. It's not something to just have as something to live by. It's been brought in that way in which we might learn of him and be brought very much upon the sweet merits of Christ and his cross. It's being brought to the place where grace abounds. Right, just to the bleeding wounds we sometimes sing. Our incarnate God, will that do you good? Our friends, the Lord's people say, oh, that's just it. Let that grace abound. Let it be increased. The sufficiency of it. Whatever betide. Speaks of it in a hymn. That is how I seem to be brought to consider the word here and the witness of the Lord's sweet grace. It seems to abound and fill the dear man's soul. He says, despite everything, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. You see, something I can't get to, friends. That abounding until the man's not ashamed. Now, that's God's love, isn't it? The hymn writer says, and when we seek to find our sins can ne'er be found. Oh, for that sweet increase of that knowledge, the dear Redeemer. And the love of God which passeth knowledge indeed. Now it's the Lord bringing in these characters that are appointed to follow on, that are in God's purpose and appointment, and they have to seek for grace to follow on to know the Lord. They have to learn what it is to be obedient in those things that he appoints until there's a time when the Lord thrusts them, maybe in the ministry or perhaps in the service of the Lord, in the diaconate, just comes to my mind. The things that God appoints, and it needs a heart upright, doesn't it? And that love to the Lord. Some of us can remember the dear saints of God in our early days, especially that stand out to us, friends, that they were those that continued. Their place would be filled if ever it could be so. And they were those that could leave many things and seek for that help and blessing of God for the Sabbath. And the Lord honoured it. These characters, friends, they continued, like the apostles. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed to leave those things of a poor, dying world. Oh, for grace. Friends, it's the superabounding of it. And for that sweet witness that all is dung and dross, said the apostle in another place in Philippians, that I may win Christ, be found in him, that the reign of it until the Lord fills the heart with that sweet truth of the King and his beauty. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. What a good word that is this evening. The Lord appoints it. Nevertheless, one little word, isn't it? Means so much. Nevertheless. It's what God's grace appoints, doesn't it? And sweetly fulfills whatever betide. There's a hymn about it on my mind. It's when the Lord is with his people. Then, if I know anything, friends, there's that renewing of strength. Purpose of heart. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Even to own my Lord and to seek to maintain the honour of his word, the glory of his cross. Nevertheless, so much in it. That sweet thought that all things else can be left, but this is the most needful thing, union with the Lord and forgiveness, acceptance on high, and the Lord to grant the convoy of his love. Now there's a lot in it, nevertheless. Oh, there'll be many things. He says, be not ashamed. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God who has saved us, Timothy, and called us with an holy calling, Timothy, not according to our works. He says, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and so on. I want to speak of it, as God may help me, concerning the sweet work of God's Spirit and the blessing of the Lord in poor sinners' heart. That's what brings them to the Lord, isn't it? It's the richness of his love. It's that power of it that overcomes their sin and shame. Also, it's that love by which God loves, by which they love him in return, these characters. And they're not ashamed because of the strength of it, the truth of it. Now it's something to just bring before you. It's that work of God, the witness of it, in poor sinners' hearts, till their sins can be said they're swallowed up. O Lord, in thee. They're brought to see a sweetness. Calvary's peace, the truth of it. It reaches their longing hearts. Friends, the doctrine of the cross is a very sacred doctrine. Nothing can be put to it. It's what God has done and puts to the account of poor sinners until they're saved. And they're brought to this sweet point that he is there all in all. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. Oh, to have that sweet increase of it, friends. Like that abounding nature of it that reaches the outer way sinner that feels he's completely lost and ruined and brought perhaps to wit's end corner. and then the Lord will grant me the increase. That's what the apostle's speaking about. Until he's not ashamed. Now, some of you know it, don't you? Oh, the abounding nature. God's forgiving love. What's the fruit of it? Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Something, friends, that can't be copied. It's not something that can be learned in the head. It's what God writes in the heart. The sweet sentence of life and the evidence of it. Jesus sought me in a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger, interposed. His precious blood, that's what love has done. Oh, to know it in that sweet prevailing ascendancy. And poor sinners, friends, that feel to be so cast out. Yet they cannot be cast out because his love, it is that which God that works in the heart to love him and to own him too. Following, friends, is the evidence of love. I'm well acquainted, of course, of the things that surround us, and I'm not ashamed to speak as God may move my heart a little. Oh, that this might be more sweetly known. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believed. Now, there's a setting out in it of the glorious character, person, the Son of God. Oh, I was thinking about it briefly in the sweet word of God's grace. We have it in the Song of Solomon, don't we? The evidence of it is sweetly known. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of God, among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. It's the shadow of his cross, really. The things that he has done, and the shelter from God's holy law and the dreadful nature of sin and our deserts. And then there's a sweet resting in Jesus, isn't there? Oh, it's that sweet work of living faith, isn't it? To overcome our sins and show us, as we sometimes speak about yon lovely man. They still do in Scotland. Oh, friends, it's him, isn't it? Oh, to speak of him. The glorious character of the dear Redeemer. And if the Lord blesses you and brings you into the sweet knowledge of liberty, you'll find the Song of Solomon to be a very sacred part of God's word. Very sacred. Thought about it in passing. By night on my bed I sought him, that my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Then it speaks of that going out unto him, doesn't it? Saw you him, and my soul loveth. Not being ashamed of it. But being brought among the people of God. It's something that needs to be broken down. There's that resistance and that spirit of it that is ashamed to speak the things of God. Some may take issue with me and say, no, there's a reservation, there's things that need to be spoken of. Timidity, friends. We need the Lord to flow over all that which is contrary to the increase of his love and to grant us sweet knowledge of the Lord, the character of him. So sweetly made known in the gospel. Who is this? Cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke. Or that sweet word of his grace. My beloved is mine, I am his. Oh, that's the topmost stone of it, isn't it? His mouth is most sweet. He speaks the promises. Ah, oh, friends, it's the kisses of his mouth, isn't it? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, that the Lord may increase that little love and grant that sweet confirming of his inheritance. That's what that increase of the love does. This love of God, friends, it confirms his inheritance by love. So naturally, isn't it? There's much could be said about it, but then in the things of God, it's that sweetness of his name. No name like it, is there? Perhaps for those that are being led on, I only venture because I'm not my own at all. There are those times when the Lord grants that enlargement. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. The sweet increase of the power of his love until that soul is lifted up, you know, and brought away from all things else, and none so precious as Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Would to God there might be some purpose of God that might be a word in season. Nevertheless, oh, the sins, the ruin, the lameness, the sense of unworthiness, of guilt and shame. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe. I know whom I believe. It's a good word, isn't it? It's that sweet increase of God's love and the evidence of divine life indeed. Now, let me put it another way, friends. That is the way the Lord loves his church, his bride, with everlasting love. He is heard to say, come ye out from among them, be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. He is known to speak comfortably. Indeed, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is the one that the dear apostle is speaking of. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Oh, how we need the Lord to grant that sweet increase of this love and this beautiful word of his grace that is known here by the reigning power of grace and the conquest of his love. Hard, obdurate, rebellious, and then hearts made soft. Indeed, it's spoken in the particular aspect of the blood of Christ. Softens hearts of stone, doesn't it? You that know the Lord. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed of him. Oh, that there might be that sweet increase of it. And the Lord, to perhaps grant some sweet evidence this evening. My beloved is mine. I'm here. So. But then, also in the sweet character of the Lord, in the truth of it regarding his dear people, one word stands out to me, the cry of the church of God, the soul that is renewed, that is delivered from the power of unbelief. It's until the daybreak, isn't it? Heaven's bright day. Till the daybreak and the shadows flee away. If it's not that, it's this word, isn't it? The daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn thou, beloved, and be thou like a rower of young heart upon the mountains of division, the mountains of Betha. Oh, that's it, isn't it? If there's no great mountain that he cannot bring low, who art thou, a great mountain before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. There are many things that seem to stand out to me concerning the glorious character of the person of the dear Redeemer. His heart is full of tenderness. His bowels melt with love. Oh, to rebels, sinners indeed. You know they're loved by love divine, aren't they? Until their poor hearts are brought to be swallowed up in it. We may seem to be extravagant, but it's that truth of the gospel, isn't it? When the Lord is precious and everything's put right. It is, isn't it? When I came forward many, many years ago, I had a particular difficult path at work. I'm not going to speak about it so much, but friends, I could leave it because I had a little sweet increase of his love and the purposes of God to me, and those things I could safely leave with the dear Lord. Many trying things. Well, I must hasten. The dear man says, I continue unto this day. Oh, the Lord grant it to any poor troubled heart who's ready looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I must come a little closer, a few moments. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. We did touch very briefly upon that blessing of living faith. The dear apostle said that I may know him, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which is through the faith of Christ, that particular application when the Lord is precious. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious. Oh, is it not so? Oh, he's precious in his comeliness. There's one thing I did touch upon this morning. He's precious in that garment of salvation. Oh, the everlasting nature of it, woven throughout by love. He descended from heaven with that sweet truth of the perfection of the Lord to poor sinners in the person of the Redeemer, until they're clothed, washed and clothed, and set apart as a king's sons and daughters. So much so, friends, that they're brought again as adopted sons and daughters. We left it this morning just briefly speaking of the prodigal returning. It still fills my heart. Friends, he'd sinned and ruined himself. He'd gone as far from God as sheep can run, we might say. And then he began to be in want. And this is how it still attends my mind. Friends, the Lord knew exactly what to do with him, in the parable, that is. He must have dearth in his soul. He might be filled. He might return. He was in want, and that want was supplied by his Father's house. Yea, by the Father himself. That's the gospel, isn't it? Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. No better robe. The robe of his righteousness covers poor sinners, and they're washed and then clothed with all, aren't they? It's all of Christ. Now, friends, these things quicken the footsteps. They bring poor sinners to his spouse or to cleave to the Lord. They're delivered by it. Count the world a bubble or vanity below. Oh, it's easy said, isn't it? Oh, but the subtleties of Satan and our wicked heart. But then, his love is the same. Oh, it's us that need the increase. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. Wonderful thing if we can come in there. I have believed. Well, it's not the language of free will. It's the language of sovereign grace. Friends, the Lord makes the believer, gives him his crown, and commends him. But it's all because of the wonders of redeeming love. The Church of Christ is deformed and ugly, defiled, ruined, and yet they're brought nigh by the blood of Christ and presented before the Father without blemish or without spot. Sweet truth, isn't it? Oh, the comeliness in Jesus Christ and the richness of his love. I know in whom I have believed. Would to God there might be some sweetness in it, that maybe a resting in his love, as the word speaks of Christ, really, resting in his love, the Lord resting in his love, in the appointment of a Saviour, and then that love reaching poor sinners' hearts. Oh, they love him. Know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. Well, that's sweet grace, isn't it? That moving of the heart, the inmost heart. That sweet persuasion. We read of a persuasion that is not of God. This persuasion cometh not of Satan, nor the creature. Friends, it's that sweet truth, isn't it? The Lord rectifying and then bringing his people into the narrow way and then appointing them to walk out in that straight and narrow way till him they view. Oh, I come so far short. I hope I can say I know whom I believe and am persuaded. In our right mind, isn't it? We read of that poor man who's found clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, all of grace. I know him, I believe. He knew the language. And persuaded. He wanted to be with him. I know him, I believe, and persuaded that he is able. It's a good word. He is able. I think the hymn writer says he is willing, doubt no more. But we need to be careful about blandly speaking or singing those things without a depth to our feeling about it. One of debt and unworthiness. And yet, I know him, I believe, and am persuaded. Now that's what the Lord does, friends, in the calling of sinners. And they're but flesh and bones. They're poor characters. They've got minds that are troubled. Their souls may indeed know many changes, but the Lord knows no change at all in his love. Let me put it like this. It's what the Lord does, these poor sinners' hearts, till they say, I know whom I believe. It's a word that may be spoken to a poor, tempted soul, or one that is able to say, this is where I stand. Having done all I stand, I know and I believe. I'm persuaded that he is able. He is able. It's a good word, isn't it, to the child of God. He is able. Whatever it is, it needs the Lord to guide us into it, doesn't it? Not my will, but thine be done. He must increase. I must decrease. Little do we know the trials of the way, the disappointments, the sorrows. And yet there is a fullness, sweetly expressed here. I know whom I believe, and persuaded that he is able. Keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, the dear man is brought towards the end of his journey. Many things he commits unto the Lord. His soul, the church of God, Timothy himself, and those he can walk with, and those that are companions in the way of the truth of the gospel. And it's walking out, isn't it, his appointment. I know whom I believed. It's looking back, isn't it? It's the sanctifying effect. He helped me there. I've known what it is for us to be utterly without a text at all, and the Lord to grant one to flow in a few moments, then you can preach. I know whom I believed. Persuade that he is able. There may be a good word, as we may be able to see it in the very person of the Lord Jesus with the apostle. He is able. It's a nature of faith. He's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Perhaps a testimony. It's something the Lord has wrought, and it's so, the matter is so tempted, that the soul is so tempted and ready to go back. And Satan will say, best not go and follow on, because you might be a hypocrite. Best to be silent and to keep in the background, but she could not be hid. Oh, the matter is this, friends, we need the Lord to grant us that sufficiency in Christ to live in faith. I know whom I believed. I am persuaded he is able to keep that. Whatever it is, committed unto him against that day, perhaps a sweet testimony, or that way in which the Lord joins things up, providence and grace, and there's that sweet knowledge, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Now it's coming to the end, isn't it, of our poor life, and yet to be able to say with the apostle, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. Ashamed of self, yes, but not ashamed of him. It's a sweet hymn, isn't it? I am very cautious. It seems to keep dwelling on my spirit. Jesus, and shall it ever be? Mortal man, ashamed of thee. Ashamed of thee, whom angels praise. Its glories shine to endless days. Now, I must be exceedingly circumspect about it, friends, not to try to cause any fervour which is not of God, but it's that truth, isn't it? Just read that word, ashamed of Jesus, just as soon at midnight. Be ashamed of noon, 'tis midnight, with my soul till he, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. I must leave a few things. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £745, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Mr. Charles Warboys next Lord's Day, and God willing, he will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service and also address the Sunday school. And our dear Victoria's baptism will be, God willing, on the 27th. Of April, Saturday, at 2:30. Let us close by singing hymn number 389. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. 389.
To remember each one we would bear up before thee. Grant us, Lord, those sweet tokens that we are in thy hand. Grant us more that sweet evidence that we are the Lord's servant in the Lord's message. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. Amen.